That was a pretty good responsive reading that little David there picked, because it has to go along with what I'm preaching on tonight. And the title of that responsive reading was called Mission. And it ended up about responding to the Lord when he said, who's going to go? And of course he said, I will go. I'm going to go. How about us? Will we say, Lord, send me? Regardless of where it is ever we're going to be sent to? Are we just willing to just give the Lord God a blank sheet and say, fill in the blanks? Send me, because I want to go wherever you send me. I want to do whatever it is you tell me to do. It has to do with a character reference that I want to look at tonight. The title of the sermon is Servanthood. This simply means no task is too small. We sometimes in today's society, and it's been this way throughout all of history, unless it can be something worthy of what we think it's worthy of, then we really don't want to tackle it. If it's not going to be noticed, it's not going to be recognized, it's not going to be seen. That's our human nature, to want to be that way. But the person that I want to look at tonight is very unique. And he was unique in the fact that all he wanted to do was be a servant. That's all. And that's all he did, was be a servant. And as we look at that, and as we look at him, of course his name was Barnabas. Barnabas, the name Barnabas means encourager. And we could all do with a little encouragement sometime, can't we? And we could all do with a little of encouraging of others around us as well. Our names may not be Barnabas, but Barnabas set an awesome testimony of what it means to lead others, to encourage others, to stand with others. If it meant needing more, if it meant needing morale or needing men, or needing money, Barnabas was right there for the task. He didn't evaluate whether it was going to be something worthy of his talents. He was just willing to do it. And that's what I last Wednesday night we talked a little bit about the new year. And what do we see ourselves doing in the new year? And you know, I'm sure that there are many churches that's been planning for the last 6 months what they want to do next year. I'm not quite that organized, but when it approaches, I want to do something that God wants us to do. I want to be available. I want to serve Him and our church serve Him in however God wants. And in order to do that, we got to set up a blank page. We're not going to dictate to God what we want Him to do for us, or what we want Him to let us do. God is going to tell us what He desires for us to do, and it's our responsibility as God's people to pick up the gauntlet and go. That's what servitude is. As I look at Acts 11, I'm going to read verses 19 through 26. And then I've got just three very simple points I want to share with you tonight about the character of Barnabas. That I know I can do a whole lot better with this kind of character than what I've built for myself. And so we learn from one another. We compare ourselves when we talk about perfection to Jesus Christ. But you know, there's a lot of good men in Scripture. A lot of good women in Scripture that can be good, awesome character studies that we can say, you know what? Paul wasn't perfect. He was in the flesh, but he said, you know what? Imitate me. Why could he say that? Because his heart was founded in the right place. It was founded in Jesus Christ and to serve Him and to Him alone. Didn't matter where, didn't matter when, didn't matter how. Shipwrecked to being beaten to being taken and killed. Didn't matter. These are men and women that we can learn from. So as we look at this, this is a section about Paul, Saul, and Barnabas at Antioch. It says, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed from Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. I love this particular story. And I do because Barnabas demonstrated a heart and a spirit that few demonstrated. You can see in this that the Jews just weren't so convinced that the gospel was supposed to go to Hellenists and go to Gentiles. Peter was kind of on board with that at the beginning, till God showed him through the vision that everybody, all peoples are worth salvation and should be preached to. Otherwise, Peter was just like these Jews from Jerusalem. So it was kind of like, well, we've heard this. Barnabas, we want to send you out and we want you to scope this whole situation out. See what it's all about. See if it's real or not. Well, the three things that I see in this passage that are something that I want to incorporate into my life and my testimony is, the first thing is that Barnabas had nothing to prove. He didn't have anything to prove to anybody. He was a servant of God, which made him a servant of the church. Now, whether you know or not, Barnabas literally mentored Paul in the beginning of the ministry. He took Paul and mentored him. Now, most would kind of sit back and say, well, look at Paul. He became so famous. He became so well known. But look at me. I mentored him. And where am I in the big picture of this? That did not intimidate Barnabas in one slight bit. He didn't care. He was happy that God had chosen Saul, who was Paul, to do what he wanted him to do. He was happy that he could be a part of the mentoring of Paul in teaching. Barnabas never saw that he lost anything because he didn't take center stage. That's a problem we have today with our egos. You see, Satan loves to inflate our egos. He does. And if we're not recognized and we're not seen, if we're not glorified for what we do, then many times Christians just don't want to do it. Why would Barnabas be any different? Because Barnabas realized what servanthood was. Servanthood was serving others, not being served. Well, wait a minute, doesn't that ring a bell? Isn't that what Jesus tried to teach his disciples? They got it later on, but they didn't like the feet washing thing because that was a demonstration of servitude. The feet of the people that walked in sandals was filthy. And of course, Peter with his big mouth said, well, if you're going to wash my feet, then you got to wash all of me. Jesus said, well, if you're a clean person, we don't need to have it all washed. I love Jesus' response. Amen. We have to be willing to be just like that. It's not about a name. And that goes for the name on the church too. It's not about building big edifices to what we think we should be and where we think we should go. It's not about that at all. Am I in competition with other churches? No, I'm not in competition with anybody. We should be cohesive together in the gospel and in serving others and in ministering the Bible and the truth for real churches that have that ideology and theology. Not all churches do. With those, I cannot be cohesive with and will not. Are we afraid? Maybe some in our own church, that, you know what, I have to prove my place. I have to prove that I'm the best preacher that there is, or I have to prove that I'm the best song leader that there is, or I have to prove. That's like children feeling they have to prove that they're the best children on the face of the planet, which isn't going to happen, because they're not. They're just like the rest of us. I want to absorb Barnabas's attitude. But you know what? I don't have anything to prove to people. The only one that I desire to prove anything to is my Lord. Amen? That's what Barnabas wanted to do. He didn't mind teaching he who was going to write 2/3 of the New Testament and who was going to start churches galore and be recognized. I mean, even non-Christians know the name of Paul. That did not bother him at all. What kind of a humble spirit that is. You know, it says down here that the heart that he had was one that he demonstrated being a good man. He demonstrated being full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And because of that, a great many came to salvation. That's what it takes. It takes that faith. It takes it takes the power of the Holy Spirit working within us to bring glory to Him, to the Father, to the Son. And just go wherever God leads us. So, understand something. Barnabas had nothing to prove and neither do you. We just want to serve, don't we? Well, the second thing that I see is he didn't feel like he had anything to lose either. Barnabas did not have to guard his reputation for fear of popularity. He did not have to guard that. No place in here did it say that he kind of withheld that and guarded himself so that, you know, his reputation would be hurt. Why is that? Well, go back down to that verse that I just read to you. It is because of the Holy Spirit was actively working in his life. He was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of belief, full of willing to do whatever it took to take that message to lost people. Not on his terms, but on God's terms. Why didn't they send somebody else to Antioch? Why did they send Barnabas? Because Barnabas, whether he didn't have anything to prove, did prove himself to be faithful. Did prove himself to be filled with the Spirit. And so, you know what? Barnabas didn't feel like he had anything to lose. And you want to know why? Not only this, but he came to serve, not to be served. That's the problem we have in the modern day church today. It's like people that I've heard say so many times, well, I'm gonna head down the road and go to another church because I'm just not getting fed here. They don't want to say that to me because I'm going to tell them exactly what I think about that cop-out. You want to know why they're really saying that? Most of the time, it's because they've been approached and asked to serve within the church. God never called us to be part of a church, to be pew sitters. He didn't call us to do that. He called us to be actively involved in the church that we may get the work of God done. If everybody in the church worked heartily, it would be so much less stress on a few that are trying to do it all, and they cannot do it all. You see, his idea, because he was ready to serve others, simply was focusing on giving and not getting. What do we focus on sometimes? Is it what we get in return? Or is it what we're willing to give? You know, it was pretty funny. I'd never had this happen to me before. My dad and I went to Denny's, and it was, I think, just before Thanksgiving or something, and we ordered and getting ready to pay, and she said, "No, your ticket's been paid." "Oh, really?" So the people across the room over there paid our ticket because somebody had paid their ticket. And somebody had paid that person's ticket. So we had no choice. It was fun to pay somebody else's ticket. So we paid somebody else's ticket. That's the kind of attitude about giving that we need to have. It's not what's it going to cost me. It's not what's going to be the reward that I'm going to get for this. It was just the fact that, you know what? It felt good to do this. It felt good to do this. And maybe that person, they call it pay it forward, but the Bible calls it giving. Just just plain giving. You know, that was what Barnabas demonstrated. He demonstrated the fact that as a servant, he had no rights to lose. Think about that. He had no rights to lose. Because the rights that we're given as a Christian can't be taken away from us. Daniel, they tried to take his rights of his faith and his belief away from him, and he wouldn't give those up. We don't have to give those up. What we get all wrapped up in is crossing over what we think our constitutional, our country rights are with what our spiritual rights are. And it isn't about rights as a Christian. It's about the gift of what we've been given from our Savior. I can't lose those. I can't lose what Jesus Christ paid on the cross for me to have. I can't lose that. Neither can you. So you know what? When we begin to have a servant's heart, where we desire to serve more than get served, or we desire to give more than we get, you're going to find a transformation take place in your life. You will. And I will too. I'm not asking you to do something that I don't believe God is leading me to do in my own life. But we need to ask ourselves, is my Christian walk about where I hold back because I'm afraid I'm going to lose something? You can't lose what God has given you. You can't. And you can't misplace it. You may not use it, which is a privilege, but you can't lose it. So that was the second thing that Barnabas, that his testimony of witness shared with me. The third thing is that he didn't feel he had anything to hide. He had nothing to hide. He didn't have to put on a facade or an image. That's always been very important to me as a pastor. I've always referred to it as when Windows environment first came out, they called it what you see is what you get. And you know what? That's the way I want my testimony of my life to be. I don't want to put on a facade. I don't want people to think that I don't sin, that I don't fall, and that I don't stumble, just like you. I don't want to put on a facade about that, and Barnabas didn't put on a facade about it either. He simply had nothing to hide. Now, the closer our relationship is with God, the better that image and testimony and picture is going to be. But we can't focus on the image. We've got to focus on the heart. Because that's where it begins. That's where it begins. I read this statement that I thought was important. Barnabas had nothing to hide because he remained authentic. We understand what being authentic is. The real deal. Do we find that not so much in the modern day Christian today? They're not the real deal. They only act like the real deal. And when times get tough, boom, they disappear. He was authentic. He also let himself be vulnerable. Paul was a perfect example of what it is to be vulnerable. He took his beatings. He took his prison time. He took his shipwreck. He took his being bit by a snake that should have killed him. I mean, he took a lot of things. He put himself out there in the name of Jesus. Amen? That's what we need to do. Put ourselves out there and not worry about what the cost in this world may be. And that's what we get concerned with. The cost of what we might have to pay here. That's why so many churches believe they need to have savings accounts. I'll tell you what. I am anti-saving account in a church. If a church has got enough money to put in a savings account, they got enough money to do something with it that's going to benefit the glory of God. You don't hold on to it for a rainy day. I've never held on to a dime my whole life for a rainy day. And guess what? I'm still here. I'm still alive. And God is still provided. You understand what I'm saying? They build for the future. Yeah, Bible tells me my future can end tonight. So what did I build it for? Somebody else. I'm sorry, they can build their own. But I want my testimony to be worth looking back on as a legacy of my life. Amen. That Jesus was the most important person to me ever. So you know what? As a pastor, I place myself out there to be vulnerable sometimes too. And it's a hard thing to do because there are those that will definitely take advantage of your vulnerability. But you got to trust God. You got to trust Him and let Him administer the vengeance, if that's what it be. Not you and not me. Also, he was transparent. Transparent means you could see through him to know that he wasn't hiding anything. He wasn't building walls about anything. What he was on one side of him was the same on the other side. He was transparent. He didn't want to create an image for himself that would make him maybe look better or above other people. He wanted, when a person is transparent, let me tell you what happens. Somebody sees the transparency of you as a Christian and they will come to you for need. And you want to know what transparency translates into? Trust. Because you're not hiding anything. You're as, how do they say that? As open as a book. And you can be read simply. To me, that's what Scripture is. It's an open book that can be read so simply. And that's the way our lives need to be. He was so happy about the situation that he could rejoice with others. Look at verse 23. He says, when he had come and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. He was happy with what's going on. He wasn't skeptical and looking at it going, well, I got to test the waters here first. He could see the grace of God in it. Who's going to stand against the grace of God? Many do. They don't accept that God could possibly work in what they believe to be the most wicked, vile person on the face of the earth. You know, a lot of those people have been saved. I believe it was they were influenced by people like Barnabas. I do. I want to be like Barnabas. I don't quite have enough education to be like Paul. He was a whole lot smarter than I was. But maybe Barnabas, just being vulnerable, being authentic, being transparent, to be able to minister and help other people. I just want to close with this question. If God called you to be another Barnabas, to another Paul, and if you knew that at the end, Paul would emerge with more popularity than you, would you truly and really be willing to do that? If you can say yes, then my friend, we're on the same boat, in the same boat, on the same page. Because that was Barnabas' heart. And it needs to be our heart too. Amen.